Okay, good afternoon, Joe. How are you today?
Hi, Lena. Yeah, pretty good. Thanks.
That's awesome. So would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about you and your story and what you're doing?
Okay, so so I'm Joe. I'm an aromatherapist and a massage therapist. And I produce or I handcraft essential oil products, I guess, and natural vegan skincare with essential oils in them. And I guess, I've been doing this for, I don't know, maybe 15 years professionally, I guess, something like that, close to that. I have been, well, I've only been in Australia or back in Australia for maybe 5 years. So the solar aroma business is sort of a new venture, even though I've been doing this work for like quite a while. I was doing it overseas as working as an aromatherapist, well, as a therapist, as an aromatherapist. And people would come or do still come as well for consultations. So for certain issues that they might have, then we work on, might use it through a massage or might produce like a blend for them to take home and use. But yeah, it's the essential oils which I guess are my raw ingredients and which are the most amazing part of what I do because of their, well, one, there's their beautiful aroma, number one. For not 100% of the oils, they don't all have beautiful aromas, but the great majority of them do. And also, I guess the healing that they bring on so many different levels, which I guess is what my aim is, to use these natural, beautiful ingredients to bring about a more holistic healing in people.
Yeah, lovely. So for people that have no idea what aromatherapy is, would you like to say a few words about what actually aromatherapy is?
Sure. So I guess aromatherapy in its most simple sense is therapy with aromas. But in this case, because I guess aromas could be anything, in this case, the aromas are natural, derived from plants, from the essential oil from plants. And yeah, so the therapy part comes in working out what a person needs and then giving that to them. So whether that be like a more spiritual thing, whether that be a physical issue, like, you know, something as everyday as a cold and flu or hemorrhoids or, you know, something like that, or an emotional thing, like sort of releasing emotional blocks, working with hormonal challenges. Yeah, any, even like using it for their rituals that they already do, like for example, meditation or journaling to sort of reveal the truth of what they're looking for. Like, yeah, what a, I mean, it's such a broad thing which can be used in it can be such a simple thing, you know, maybe you just want your room to smell lovely. Maybe you want, you know, people are coming over for, I don't know, for some, for a chat, for some tea or whatever. And you just want them to feel, you know, welcome in your house. So you put on a nice spicy sort of blend in the diffuser. I mean, it can be as simple as that, just, you know, trying to change or trying to not, maybe not change, but to invite a certain mood into your space, you know. But then again, it can be, you know, used in massage for pain relief or for, you know, someone with depression or, you know, so many different things. So it's a very wide, broad, therapy, I guess. Yeah.
So how did you come to aromatherapy?
I first, well, I mean, I was born on a farm, so I have a lot of contact with you know, natural plants. And, you know, when I was a kid, that's all I ever used to do was, you know, go out into the farmland and collect different plants and make concoctions and, you know, things like that. But when I was at university, I just started just using different oils for stress, you know, the stress of the sort of pressure, the deadlines and everything like that. And then I just, you know, I was a teacher and I used to use it all the time before I started studying, you know, like just for the people in the classroom, you know, like to focus, like things like rosemary and peppermint, just to sort of keep people awake, you know, without even really, you know, that was before I studied. And then I just decided that I wanted to do something more healing and more natural with my life. And then I just, yeah, went into aromatherapy as a profession, I guess. And I, and now I work with, well, with anybody, but I specifically try to, well, not only, but I work with pregnant women as well. So making oils for birth to make that a more comfortable and more empowering experience. But that's only one branch of what I do.
So how
does, and I just find it amazing. Sorry? You know, and I just find the whole power of the oils, you know, so amazing.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, what do you like about it? Like, what's, yeah, how, what do you like about the oils? Just the smell, or?
They're just so powerful, you know, like just one little tiny smell can bring back memories, for example, you know, and put you in a much better place. You know, if you're suffering from, you know, maybe not a real chronic deep depression, you know, because maybe medication and things are better there, but even like a mild depression, for example, like just something like a little bit of bergamot, for example, can just lift you out and not long enough, you know, to just work out, okay, maybe there's something that I can do here. That I just find them really empowering. You know, there's something that you can use at home. You can, you know, you can either have some knowledge yourself from reading or from, you know, whatever, or you can use an aromatherapist. And, you know, like, it's just information that you can have and you can use yourself. You don't need to go to the doctor, you know, you don't need to get a prescription, and they can just change so many things, your whole mindset. You know, like you're trying to, for example, I don't know, discover what it is that you want to do at that moment, for example, or what you want to release, you know, just burning some frankincense, you know, and just journaling, just allowing your pen to move, you know, the frankincense, just, it just helps so much more, you know, like it just brings another level into to everything that you do. And it's natural, you know, like there's no chemicals involved. Well, if you get a quality one, that is, you know, like it's just, it's the power of nature. You know, that's what I love about it.
Simple. So amazing, yeah. So let's say I just want to start to use essential oils at home and I have no clue. What would be your advice to, you know, start and introduce some? What do I have to look for? You know, what?
Okay, that's a good question. Very, very broad, but a good question. Well, yeah, somebody actually rang me the other day and, you know, said, oh, you're an aromatherapist. My husband just bought me a box of oils. I don't know from where. How do I know if they're good? I was just like, wow, okay. I mean, it's a big question, but, you know, some basic things are, you know, does it have its Latin name on there? You know, like there's so many different types of lavender, for example. There's so many different types of eucalyptus. There's so many different types of, so many oils, thyme even, you know. If you have a different type and all that's written on the bottle is lavender, you know, but you have the type which is, you know, like really stimulating, it's not going to help you to go to sleep because they all have different chemical components in them depending on which species they are. And also even within the same species grown in different places will also have different components in there which may make them more relaxing, less relaxing, more stimulating, better for pain, like whatever it is. So I guess that would be the first thing that I would be looking for if I was, you know, just starting out. And, you know, they should always be in brown bottles just because of the light degrading the essential oils. I guess, well, you know, it's always a big red flag if you go to buy oils from somewhere and they're all pretty much the same price, because, you know, something, I'm sure you know, the wide variety in the prices of oils, like anything, you know, like rose, for example, you know, I can't remember off the top of my head exactly, but it's something like, let's say, I think it's like 4,000 kilograms of rose petals just to make like a 10 milliliter bottle. And I could be completely out there, by the way. I don't remember the figures off the top of my head, but it's a huge amount of rose petals needed to make the rose oil. So, you know, that would cost, if you went to buy a small 5 milliliter bottle, would cost like a few hundred, maybe 800, maybe $1,000 for that tiny little bottle. Whereas a bottle of eucalyptus, which is readily available, has a huge amount of oil in its leaves, you know, for like $6 for the same bottle. So, and yeah, so that different price point for the different oils is an important thing to look for. Yeah, so there's someone at the door.
I'm just taking the photos at the door.
Oh, great, thank you. Sorry. Yeah, does that answer the question? Sorry. Yeah,
so possibly if you go in a $2 shop, these oils might be more fragrances than essential oils, so you might just going to go in a, I think a health food store is possibly a good place to
that's a good point, actually. Like, where are you buying the oils from? Yeah. You know, like, I remember actually before I started studying professionally, I went into a really lovely gift shop actually somewhere, and they had fragrance oils, you know, let's say for $2 or whatever. And then they had also essential oils for like $15, $20, whatever it was. And I remember looking at them and thinking, okay, if I can buy cedarwood in this bottle for $2, why would I buy cedarwood in this bottle for, let's say, $15? And without any knowledge then, you know, I didn't know that one was synthetic and one was natural. So, you know, the human tendency, you know, would be, well, often, you know, will be, well, if I can buy this for $2, why would I buy the same thing for $15? And of course, when you look at the bottle, you know, the $2 one is not going to have, you know, pure essential oil, or it's not going to have, you know, the Latin name of the cedarwood, you know. So it's, yeah, that is a really important thing. Like, I think it's really important to know your source, like where you're getting the oils from, and to, I mean, you can't always tell online, obviously, but you can sort of, you know, look at the site and look at the information that they're giving, you know, like, are there something which is really important for me, for example, is safety guidelines. So, you know, on the website that you're looking at, do they have something about how to use the oils safely? You know, that's a really, really important thing. I mean, one, it's about the money that you spend. If you don't use them diluted, for example, you know, you'll use a lot more oil than you would diluted, which is not good for you, not good for your system, not good for your immune system, and also not good for the planet either. I mean, there's, you know, there's such a, like, as I said before, with the rose petals, you know, you need such a huge quantity to make, like, even eucalyptus leaves, you need such a huge quantity to make one drop of oil, that to use that in an unsafe way, it's just unsafe. Yeah.
Unsafe. Yeah. So, yeah, do you want to talk a bit about, because I know they, for example, hot oils and non-hot oils, and pretty much like a bit of a, yeah, caution kind of thing, you know, like to really understand let's say we went to a shop and we found now, okay, we want to use, let's say cinnamon because we like the smell, and then we pour half of a bottle on our arm, this possibly not such a good idea. So do you want to maybe talk a bit about different, maybe a bit of like different, you know, groups of oil to get a bit of a deeper understanding of?
Well, I mean, I personally believe that no oil should be used undiluted. That's my personal belief, and I guess that comes from my training as well. Of course, there are a couple of exceptions. You know, something like lavender, for example, you know, in an emergency, like let's say, I don't know, like a burn or like a mosquito bite that is just, you know, swelling up and going crazy, like, yeah, sure, you know, then it's okay to just use them completely undiluted. Maybe tea tree every now and then. But I mean, even in those examples that I gave you, even if you just diluted them, you know, to 2%, they would still have the same effect in most cases and are much safer. You know, like they did a lot of research. Well, a lot of research has been done on tea tree, for example, being a great oil for acne. And they've found in the research that diluting it even to like 0.1% has a completely effective, or is a completely effective solution to killing the bacteria in the acne. You don't need to use it undiluted. Maybe in the example of like an itchy mosquito bite, though, you know, a higher dilution rate or undiluted, even in the case of lavender, might be a better solution. But that's a one-off type of thing, like your example of cinnamon, like the spice oils, for example, are the worst oils in general as a group to use undiluted, just because they have such a not a very pretty reaction with the skin. Peppermint is another one. Like, you know, even if you dilute peppermint, and, you know, like let's say, for example, you use 5 mils of a carrier oil being like sunflower or coconut or whatever you have available. And even if you put like, let's say you go to put one drop in, but, you know, sometimes when you, you know, turn the bottle upside down and you try to get one drop often doesn't come depending on the bottle. You know, maybe you get 3 or 4 drops. And let's say, for example, you put that on your face. You know, perhaps you've actually personally experienced this, I don't know, but the burning sensation, and even that is diluted. So as you say, like a spice oil, for example, like straight on the skin, like even diluted, like they can be nightmare oils, even at 1%, you know, for a great majority of people. So, I mean, I personally wouldn't group the oils, you know, and say, well, this is safe to use undiluted. This is, you know, as a, like a large group, like I would just say, I know a lot of people might argue against this. And I know a lot of customers who come to me, you know, like they'll buy the oils and I'll say, oh, you know, what are you looking for that oil for? What are you going to use that oil for? And they say, oh yeah, I put like a drop onto, you know, the bottom of my feet, for example, and I say, oh, is that diluted? You know, or I love to put it on my temples, you know, just, you know, straight. And I say, not diluted. So I always try to get people to use the oils in a safe way. Sorry. That's the teenage daughter. Where were we?
And to use it diluted in a safe way. When you talk about dilution, so what does diluting mean? So pretty much you use the essential oil diluted in what?
Yeah, so that's the carrier oil. Well, it can be a carrier oil, for example. So, you know, any oil like coconut is pretty widespread nowadays. Jojoba, sunflower, sweet almond, macadamia, any of those oils, rosehip, argan, whatever. But, you can, like, for example, you can dilute them in other ways. So, for example, people like to use essential oils in the bath. And you have to be a little bit careful with the types of oils you use in a bath, because the ones which are very skin sensitizing, like spices, peppermint, you know, all of those sorts of things, really not a good idea. Even citrus sometimes can have that burning effect on the skin. So it's like in a bath, you would dilute it in something like cambium oil, can also be like a full cream milk type of thing, a coconut milk if you're vegan, salt, apple cider vinegar. So I always believe, and this is the way I personally use oils, always diluted. Like I never, you know, maybe apart from a couple of times in my life with a really bad mosquito bite or a burn or something like that, and there's nothing else available, and just as a quick sort of fix, then, you know, straight lavender oil. But I think it's so important, you know, and there's companies out there who, you know, recommend that you use, you know, the oil undiluted even, and put it like, you know, drop onto the soles of your feet or drop onto your temples or, you know, or drop into your water, you know, like all of these things, like into your water, for example, is such an NSAID thing because it's, you know, burning, it can burn your esophagus, you know, and not to mention, you know, all your digestive organs. So unless it's actually diluted in something proper, like, for example, you know, like a capsule with some oil, with some coconut oil or something like that in it, you take as a capsule, that's a different thing. That's a therapeutic application, but just a drop in water would not be a safe way to take it.
And then you should possibly not use any oil either in a capsule, because there are obviously things you should not ingest in your mouth either, right?
Well, I mean, again, like for a properly trained aromatherapist, like for example in France, aromatherapists are medically trained, and they do recommend internal ingestion, but, you know, like that would be diluted at the proper ratio in a capsule. So for example, for things like, I don't know, parasites in the stomach, for example, you know, like specific things that require you to take it internally, mm-hmm. you know, that could work if you're doing it with knowledge. But if you're just sticking some essential oils in a capsule, yeah, no, you know, without that sort of professional direction. Mm. I mean, I personally, unless there is something that couldn't be treated any other way, I personally wouldn't take it internally anyway. Like even sort of stomach upsets, you know, like I would always, you know, use the oils, like for example, fennel, especially, or some citrus orange, for example, and just dilute it and put it in an oil onto the tummy, like directly onto the onto that place, you know, where the problem is. Mm-hmm. You know, I would not, you know, take something internally for that. So, I mean,
yeah, I learned, you know, the other day, maybe it's also nice diluting it in castor oil, because my friend was telling me to put some castor oil on my stomach and then like a bit of paper over it and a hot water bottle, because it actually draws it into your stomach, which also really helps to get a movement, but it's not like a laxative, so it's just a bit more gentle. And yeah, I found that really soothing, so it might be even a good idea putting some fennel or orange in the castor oil and do like, I will definitely try that.
Yeah, definitely, like if it's sort of, you know, digestion related, sort of like gas related, like that type of thing. Yeah, you know, I mean, castor oil is not a great oil to use for dilution in general, unless you want to draw something out, because otherwise it's too thick and too sticky. You know, good oil for cleansing though.
drawing out So which ones, for example, do you like? What's like kind of, you know, your everyday, not that you possibly necessarily need to use them every day either, because they're so essential and precious. But like, I mean, you know, I guess they're like possibly some oils that you can more frequently use on, like what we said before, mosquito bites now in summer, or you know, yeah, if you have some digestive problems or something, do you have like a few that you, for example, possibly use more frequently than others?
Well, it depends on the season. You know, like not now in summer, but like in winter, for example, I love, like my favorite oil possibly is eucalyptus. Like I love eucalyptus and I could use it like every day without like tea tree, for example. I can't stand tea tree, you know, like because I've used it for, I don't know, like pussy things and, you know, and it just perhaps has a
antiviral kind of.
Yes, some other type of meaning for me now. And I don't actually like the smell. Whereas eucalyptus, I just adore. Thyme, I love, you know. But there's...
For the diffuser or...
Yeah, for the diffuser, for, you know, spraying, for, yeah, lots of different massage, lots of different uses, actually, all of those. In summer, I probably use more citrusy, much, much lighter oils. Lime is one of my favorites. I have a beautiful lime which is grown in Victoria, distilled in Victoria, which is not usually where you find lime, but it's the most sublime oil. So I love diffusing that in summer. I love natives, you know, so Fragonia, which you may or may not know of, mm-hmm. is a beautiful oil to use depending, like for emotional issues. So it sort of depends on you know, how I'm feeling, what season it is, what I'm trying to, I guess, achieve by using the essential oils. You know, like I'll always use different oils in massage as opposed to like the diffuser. You know, like the spice oils, for example, aren't the best oils, apart from ginger maybe, to use like on skin application. And also citrus, for example, shouldn't be applied before you go into the sun, so they're not good for skin in the summer. Yeah, so it really, it just depends, I guess, on the, you know, the season, the mood, you know, like if I'm feeling really tired, if I need some sort of protection before I go outside, you know, rosemary is one of my favorites. I don't know, I really love those, you know, the probably the stronger ones I really, especially herby native type oils, I really adore, actually.
Okay, so let's talk about moods.
Okay.
For example, what can you recommend? So you said already you can like dilute it in oil, which means you could possibly put it maybe on your hands or arms or your face, maybe or your chest or your feet. Diffusion as well. What would you, for example, use for stress? And then also, how would you dilute it? You know, like how much would you put in a diffuser? How much would you put, for example, in oil that I would like to use on my face?
So there's quite a lot of oils that you could use for stress. I personally would go for the more citrusy ones, like especially bergamot is definitely one of my favorites for stress. But then other, you know, like another person might like a floral thing, like geranium is also a really nice nurturing oil for stress as well, or a woody oil, like sort of cedarwood, that sort of grounding thing to keep you out of the stress, to just quieten your mind a little bit. Frankincense is another beautiful oil for stress. But I mean, a lot of the lemony type oils are really lovely, like lemony being lemon itself, lemon being like lemon myrtle, lemon being lemongrass. There's another Vietnamese one, which I really love, which is Mei Chang or Litsia Cubiba, depending on how it's labeled. Those ones are really lovely for stress and because they're so uplifting as well. But I personally find it's nice to blend them with a woody oil just to sort of ground and sort of take you out of your head a little bit. So in the diffuser, depends on how big your room is, but I would say no more than 10 drops in the diffuser, but could even be as little as 5. If you're going to put onto your skin, so I have around about a 3% dilution rate is what I sort of use as rule of thumb. But if it's going on your face, then 1%, because our facial skin is much more delicate. But again, if you're only just rolling it on in your temples, then a 3 to 5% dilution would be fine. But if it's all over your face, then I would go for 1%. So when I say 1%, 3%, 5%, maybe I should just explain that a little bit. So if you think of one teaspoon, so one teaspoon is 5 mils. So 1% in a 100 milliliter bottle would be 1 mil, which is roughly 20 to 25 drops. So that would be about one drop in a 5 milliliter teaspoon, 1 to 2 drops in a 5 milliliter teaspoon. So that's 1%. And then getting that to 2% would just double that. So 2, maybe 3 drops. I say 2, maybe 3 because, you know, when we upend the bottle, might be one drop more than we want. And so then 3% would increase that again. So that would be like something like in between 3 to 6 drops. So, and it also depends on the sensitivity of the skin as well. A person with really sensitive skin would go down. So maybe even for the body, even for a massage, like maybe just 1% for a person with really sensitive skin. An elderly person, again, 1%, a pregnant person, 1%, a child. Again, it depends on how old they are. But until they're about 12, around 1% for application to the body. A baby, like in 50 mils of oil, maybe like 1 or 2 drops for like a, you know, 12-month-old baby. We're not talking about newborns. Newborns shouldn't have any essential oils used on them. But so that's how you work out the dilution. And, so as I said, the bigger the patch of skin, maybe the higher the dilution can be. So then you're looking maybe 3 to 5% if it's just a tiny little, just your temples, just the soles of your feet, just like one tiny little scar on your face or something like that. But if it's all over body massage, then, you know, 2-3%. If it's all over face, 1%.
So you said before, for example, that the lemony ones should not be worn, the citrusy ones in the sun, right? Which means we might put them on maybe at nighttime when we not intend to go in the sun anymore.
Yeah. So lemony ones are okay, like lemon myrtle, lemongrass, things like that. But actual lemon, bergamot, mandarin, orange, they should not be applied before going out into the sun. So they would be better for a diffuser or, as you say, like at night, you know, maybe you have a shower at night and then you apply a body oil, you know, to your skin, then the citrus are no problems at all then, just because they have a component in them that reacts to the sun. But you can get, like bergamot, for example, you can get that with that component taken out of it. So that's called usually bergamot FCF. Is what that one is called. But yeah, generally not before you go into the sun. And there's a few others like that, but generally it's the citrus, which are the bigger culprits.
Cool. So pretty much to wrap it, it's like if we, for example, if we're stressed or our mood is down and we want to be uplifted, citrus or the lemony smells, mixed with wooden smelly ones like cedarwood or maybe sandalwood as well.
I use the Indian sandalwood just because of sustainability issues, but and sandalwood anyway is quite expensive, but even the Australian sandalwood is quite expensive, and there are some sustainability issues with that. But yeah, I mean, I would, but then again, you know, maybe a person, you know, when we're feeling stressed, they want that sort of hug type of thing where, you know, a floral might be better in that sense rather than an uplifting thing.
So how can I find this out? What would help me in my stressful moment? Smelling it and,
just smelling it. And just, I guess it's about trusting your inner knowledge, you know, like when you smell it, you know, you resonate with something at that moment or you don't, you know, which you know, at a different time, you may really love that, but at that particular time of feeling that stress, you may smell it and you just go, yeah, no.
You know. So maybe I should go in a health food store and then test the testers out and see what kind of, maybe like 4 smells that I like, and then get them and test them out and see how
Absolutely. And I mean, a nice thing to do as well when you're, you know, looking at testers is to open a couple that you like and see how they smell together as well. You know, like mm-hmm. you may not like them together. Somebody else may love them together. But yeah. I mean, aromatherapy and essential oils are so individual.
Yeah.
That, you know, what somebody else likes, you know, another person will hate, or even you in this situation will not like it in that situation. Mm. You know, so it varies. So it's even something as, I think, as lovely as lavender. You know, some people can't stand the smell of lavender. Small percentage of the world, but still they are there.
So lavender is, for example, more relaxing. If I would like to go to bed at night, that would be a nice,
depending on which lavender.
Yeah,
in general. Mm-hmm.
There which are lavender is relaxing?
French lavender, it's, you can tell by the italics or the name in the Latin name, but Lavandula angustifolia is the relaxing one. But again, if you, you know, like I say, if you have sleep problems, for example, get a tissue and put like a drop on your tissue, just put it near your pillow and just smell it and go to sleep. But then some people just think, oh, okay, if one drop is good, 10 drops must make me go to sleep like in 2 seconds. But it has actually the opposite effect.
Mm.
You know, it's more stimulating. So, yes, but generally lavender is
less
very
is more.
Less is definitely more, going back to, you know, the diluted ratios and everything like that. I mean, saves you money, saves the world. You know, we don't need to distill so many plants in order to get the outcome that we want. You know, like, definitely less is definitely more. That's definitely a good principle to go with.
Yeah. And so, for example, let's say for some massage therapists that listen, what would be like a nice oil in a massage oil, if you do a deep tissue massage, let's say, what's nice for the muscles to, you know,
just loosen up a little bit. I mean, my personal favorites would be something like lemon and rosemary, if the person is not going outside into the sunshine, but definitely rosemary, eucalyptus, peppermint, you know, used at the appropriate ratios. I mean, for a deep tissue massage where you're trying to loosen up muscles, ginger is a lovely oil for that as well, because it's nice and warming.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if it's for a deep tissue, I'd definitely say those sorts of oils, like the more rosemary, eucalyptus, thyme, but a certain variety of thyme, which is sweet thyme. So it's safer for the skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, sweet thyme is very safe for the skin, but the other thymes are not so safe for the skin. They're my favorites personally, but you know.
Mm-hmm. And how many drops would you put in a 100 milliliter bottle of carrier oil? Like,
so for, I would go for around 3%, so that would be about 3 mils in a 100 milliliter bottle. And as I said, like, you can sort of think around 25 drops to 1 mil. I mean, all the oils are different. Some have smaller drops, some have bigger drops, like, because they're thicker oils. Some of the little holes in the bottle are bigger and smaller, but generally, you know, 1 mil is around about 25 drops. So around about probably like 65 to 75 drops in, for a healthy person, mm-hmm. in a 100 milliliter bottle, and that would be about 3%, unless you're just using, you know, like a little bit of oil on a little area, because like a frozen shoulder or something like that, then maybe you could go up to about 5%, and the 5% would be 5 mils in a 100 milliliter bottle, so that would be 125 drops roughly, for like a whole little tiny bottle. But yeah, that's only for a small part of the body.
Yeah, I feel like we could talk forever about this, because it's just so interesting. I mean, I guess it's just like a lot to know, because every plant has obviously their place to, you know, help and heal different things in the body and the mood. So I guess, like, anyone that wants to deepen this and wants to know more can definitely contact you. And you're also selling awesome products, so I think that's awesome. But yeah, I definitely would like to ask you a bit as well about what you're doing with pregnant women. Like, what's the benefit of essential oils in birthing? Because I think I had the pleasure of working in a midwife clinic during lockdown for a few months, and they also work with essential oils, and I think it was just amazing to you know, because I guess every woman that hasn't birthed a child before, there's possibly a lot of, I'm pretty certain everyone is anxious to some degree because you don't know what's going to happen. And I think it's really nice to have some aromas and smells and maybe some things that soothe you, but also for the pain, the contractions and so on. So do you want to share a bit about
What are you doing there? Yeah, so I work with both pregnant women and women giving birth. So, you know, like during pregnancy, you know, women, pregnant women suffer from a lot of issues, whether it be back pain, whether it be fluid accumulation, and there's a lot of oils, you know, which work with all of those things, stress, fear, anxiety. So they could be applied in like massage, for example, during pregnancy or in a bath or, you know, something like a foot bath, even for, you know, swollen ankles and things with like lemon, something as simple as lemon. But yeah, with birth, it's a couple of different ways that I use the oil. So there's quite a few oils that can't be used during pregnancy just because they have an affinity with the uterus. So the oils that I use in birth are those oils. So the ones that can't be used in pregnancy because they help the uterus, they help the surges, I call them, the surges in the uterus to sort of work, or the contractions. Like clary sage, for example, is one of the biggest examples. Rose, jasmine, you know, completely unsafe during pregnancy. After like 37, 38 weeks when the woman feels ready, really beautiful oils. And they work not only on the uterus, but they also work on the level of the mind, like with fear, anxiety. So it's twofold. It's oils that work with the uterus, and then oils that work to relax, to let go, to surrender, you know, things like that, which are really helpful for birth. So an oil like frankincense, for example, is a beautiful oil to use in birthing because it helps the breath to deepen. And it just helps you to focus a little bit more and just, you know, sort of see, okay, there's a way out of here. It's, you know, this is wonderful. My body is working. I can just focus on that. You know, it's such a beautiful oil to use for that reason. So, or rose, which both helps to open the uterus. So you'd apply it to diluted, of course, to the tummy or to the lower back, but you can also apply it to the face to breathe in because it's such a beautiful heart opening oil and so beautiful for anxiety and fear, which pretty much every woman feels during birth, before birth, after birth, all through birth, you know. So yeah, or it could just be an oil that a woman really loves the smell of and feels comfortable, you know, with, because one of the biggest things in birth is to feel safe and relaxed, you know, and whether that oil has an affinity with the uterus or not, you know, it will still help her to feel that. So, you know, maybe her favorite oil is bergamot, you know, which doesn't have any affinity with the uterus and won't help anything with the birth, but it will help her remain relaxed, feel safe, and just maybe go within a little bit more than she would have otherwise. So it's just it's another sort of comfort measure, I guess, you know. So yeah, I mean, there's lots of other things, you know, like lavender is fantastic for use after the birth if there's any sort of, you know, damage to the perineum, to sort of help heal and to stop sort of, you know, different sort of, I guess just to help heal, you know, in a sitz bath type of thing. But yeah, lots of different ways that it can be used. Quite amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, I love essential oils, and I even feel like when I massage, it's really relaxing even for myself to breathe them in. And it just really deepens also the connection while you massage someone. And this gets you in like a little zone on comfort. And I do actually like all these herbal ones. And I love wintergreen as well, even if it smells really medical. But yeah, I really do like it.
As well.
Yeah, I like it on my on my body as well. So it's beautiful.
So do you choose oils that you like or the client likes?
No, I sometimes do ask them, but generally I massage mostly without any scents, and then I might bring some because I did mobile massage. So and then sometimes I don't know necessarily when they book online or I go to offices, I don't know who's there, so I can't just pre-mix it because they might be too old or people don't like the smell. So generally I only go with edible oils, never use any others, and then I swap between sunflower or olive or coconut, just different ones. And but no, generally, if I massage someone here or something, I just ask them whether they want some or they, I go pretty intuitively as well. Like if they feel pain somewhere, then, you can use different ones. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a win-win situation if they, like the same oils as you, and then you get to massage them and breathe in that beautiful aroma that you love as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's so nice. Joe, so is there anything that you would like to share that I haven't asked you yet?
Oh, I think you've asked me so much. I don't know. There probably is 100,000 other things, but probably that's probably quite a lot of information for one to take in, I guess.
Yeah. And I always ask, because obviously of your work and you have done different things and you obviously deepened yourself in this kind of knowledge, is there something from your heart you want to share with people that listen to it? What's, just something that you think is important the world needs to know from your wisdom you shared? Not necessarily only essential oils, but also just something you think you've learned for yourself during your life.
What is coming up right now is just trusting your intuition. So for example, if we apply that to oils, sometimes it's a really nice thing. So at the markets that I go to, I have a list with the prices on and the properties, but I tell people, just to sometimes just close your eyes and just reach out for an oil. And just see what it is and just see whether, hold it in your hand and just see whether it holds anything for you or whether it speaks to you, rather than always going from the logical mind, just try to make a connection with it and just see whether that speaks to you and learn to trust that is probably, I don't know, that's what's coming to me right now.
Yeah, no, that's, I think that's really nice. Yeah, intuition is a good it's good to have in general to listen to this. Yeah, trust in your intuition.
Beautiful. Which most of us have lost, but we can make a connection with it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your sharing your knowledge and your wisdom and your thoughts and everything you know. And I'm going to share all your details in the show notes, and then people can contact you for massage or aromatherapy sessions or products, or I'm just going to put your homepage and then they can connect with you.
It was lovely chatting to you. It's always interesting.
Thank you.
Love always chatting to someone who loves oils.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.